Thank you very much, GCFE Chancellor Kuhar. Good morning, everyone. To those who are visiting, we're looking at the letter of John, 1 John. So if you have your Bibles with you, Bible apps, and you're able to stand, kindly turn your Bibles, Bible apps, to 1 John chapter 2. And we'll be studying verse 18 through verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, verse 27, in reverence for God's word. May I ask everyone to please stand. And let's read together. Let's read. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. May God bless the reading of His word. You may now take your seats. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to our friends. I remember back in the 80s, I'll be giving away my age. I was born in the 70s, so I was growing up in the 80s. And I remember during my growing up years, there was a hot news item. I don't know about those who are my contemporaries. Have you heard of that news? We're circling around Manila. There were those who were trying to get little kids and trying to kidnap, trying to convince little kids to go to them. And an urban legend was born. Have you heard of the myth wherein little kids are put in sacks and they were made MSG, diba? Ginagawang betchin daw. Diba? Remember that? Where did you grow up? I mean, well, at least in my place in Manila, in Sampaloc, Manila, there was an ongoing news about men and women trying to get, I don't dare say kidnap right away, but they were trying to lure little kids to go to them. So my parents would always remind me and my sister to always be discerning, to always be careful. And our rule was very simple. Do not talk to strangers. To stay away from them, regardless if they're properly dressed. In fact, my dad would tell me, especially when they're properly dressed. Who would, in their right mind, go to Sampaloc, Manila? They call the place where I lived in and grew up as Little Tondo. Filipinos understand that. And my dad would say, do not entertain these strangers. Do not believe them right away if they mention someone or something that is very familiar to you in our family. Unlike kids now, the kids then had fun in the streets. Diba? We play tumbang preso, we play hide and seek, we play luksuntinik. We love going out in the streets and play, but because of the threat that was going on, my parents would always instruct me and my sister, be home by 5 p.m. No one still can understand what I'm saying. Saan kayo naglumaki? My dad would often say, I want you at home by 5 p.m. because it is more dangerous for kids to be in the streets, especially when it's getting dark. Now I'm a father to a 12-year-old, and I remind my daughter the same. I'm as protective as my parents were. We remind our daughter, our only daughter, to not be entertaining strangers. But since she is almost always with us, we remind her of another threat. You see, the danger has evolved from the 80s up to now, the 21st century. We have been reminding our daughter to be careful in the videos that she watches on YouTube, the websites that she goes to always be discerning, because social media has now become the latest threat. So we parents need to be actively involved in protecting them. My wife and I would always remind our daughter to not entertain people if they try to contact her, and to not be involved in conversations no matter what. We have been telling her to not expose herself, to not even click on enticing thumbnails of videos seemingly okay, but you're not sure. My parents were very protective then. I'm very protective now. And I think any responsible parent would always be protective of the welfare of their children. But as much as the harm that these deceivers nowadays can do to our children, physically and at times emotionally, there is a much greater threat that you and I need to be aware of. We should be paying attention to the greatest threat, the lies, the spiritual deception that is prevalent nowadays. We need to be protective and we need to be cautious. We need to be guarding ourselves, friends. You need to be guarding your hearts. And as we saw the last time we were together, we saw that the Apostle John loved the believers in his time. That is why he wanted to assure them of their faith. You need to understand, friends, in the churches then, a lot of people were swayed by the false teachings. A lot of people left the church, and a lot became insecure. That is why the last time we saw John reminding them of the securities that they have in Christ, in Jesus Christ. Remember, their sins are forgiven, forgotten forever. And in God, they have found great favor, a friend and a father. John reminded them of these truths, truths that they already knew. He was just reminding them and led them to see the significance of God's Word, the importance of the Word of God to their maturity, to their protection, for them to not be deceived, for them to grow, for them to mature. At anyone in God's family, those who are children in the faith, remember? The young men and the fathers, those who are mature in the faith, they're very secured, very, very secured, and should not be shaken no matter how many left the church already, no matter how many defected from the faith. But as we went on, diba, we saw how John understood the snare of the world. Yes, they are safe. Yes, they are secured. Yes, there is security in Christ. So he tells them of the danger of the world and tell them to not love the world nor the things in the world. He knows that the world will be relentless to draw their attention, to fight for their affection. And the world would parade itself as if it can offer something that would last, something that is meaningful, something that would complete you. But in the end, it cannot follow through. It cannot give what it promised. Dear ones, you see, anything or anyone that seeks to shift our gaze, pleasure, fulfillment, satisfaction, joy away from God should be avoided. Because God has designed for us to find only in Him ultimate satisfaction. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till it rests in you." John was so concerned. But John's concern for them is tremendous. That's why as we look at the section before us, he once again gave them a caution. He once again gave them warnings. Friends, the lure of the world is strong, and there are those who are proponents, who are promoters of false teachings. What would you do? We see here, John wanted his readers and us not to be defeated by the world's lure, and he desires his readers and us, GCFEs, not be deceived by people whose message is impure. Yes, we are secured in Christ. But we have an enemy. The pull of this world and the prince of the power of the air is relentless. That is why we need to know how to defend ourselves. In this section this morning, we'll be looking, how can you guard yourself from deception? This morning, friends, we will answer this question, how can we guard ourselves from the lies that is prevalent in our time? And in so doing, John would give us four ways, four means, four reasons, or four answers for us to use and live by to not be deceived. In verses 18 to 19, he would say, it's in your bulletin, it's in your outline, you should be discerning of false teachers. John said, we should be discerning of false teachers. Then he goes on in verse 20 to 23 that you should be discerning of false teachings. In order for us to not be swayed by the false teachings and be deceived by them, be aware of false teachings. In 24 to 25, he would say, we should be consistently be in God's Word. Friend, you want to guard yourself? You want to guard your heart? You should be consistently in God's Word. In verse 26 to 27, he gives us the last means. He said that we should consistently be abiding in God's Spirit. That we should be in constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Four ways, four means, four answers to the question, How can you guard yourself from deception? Let's look at the first heading. Look at verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Friends, as John gives a caution, as John gives a warning, please do not miss this. He is giving distinction between true believers and unbelievers. Here we see him addressing the genuine believers, and he calls them children. Remember the last time we were together, we saw stages of maturity, young men, fathers, and little children, stages of maturity in our spiritual journey. And now we see him saying children. Who is he referring to here? Just the immature believers? I believe that he's not just referring to the young in the faith. Because even those who are mature, even those who are growing in the faith, should be reminded of the presence and the danger of the false teachers and false teachings. John is referring to everyone in the church. As a loving father addresses his children, he used the word children in the original language, it implies children who need to learn. His readers, we need to listen well and learn from what he is now going to tell us. John said, children, it is the last hour. What does that mean? Last hour. Here we see John refers to the time between Jesus' appearance, his earthly ministry, his sacrificial death, his bodily resurrection, his ascension, his sitting at the right hand, and his coming back as the last day, as the last hour. So we are in the last hour, right? We are in the last hour right now. No one knows how long this period will last. But the phrase last hour, friends, implies a sense of urgency, don't you think? We don't know how long it would last. Last hour, it implies a sense of urgency in that any moment Jesus might come. Any moment Jesus will return. In fact, listen to how Jesus concludes his teaching on the end times. Mark 13:33. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. And John gives us details. He said, children, this is the last hour. And as he describes to us the last hour, he says, as you have heard that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. The last hour is when Antichrist would come. Just as you heard, John said, it was taught to you. You know this already. It was part of the apostolic teaching. You believed and you embraced. You got born again from it. You already know it. But notice he said, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. He was saying, you've heard of the Antichrist? Anticipate him. It has been prophesied, but take note, now Antichrists, plural, are already here. Come, friends, imagine. In John's time, he said, Antichrists are here. How about now? How many Antichrists do we have in our time? Diba? And what John meant is that any teacher who professes to be a Christian but denies the biblical truth about the person and work of Jesus Christ has the spirit of the Antichrist. Friends, there are a lot of those nowadays. That he is a false teacher, the evil spirit that will characterize the days wherein the Antichrist will be revealed is already working in these false teachers, these teachers who have left the church. Kindly turn with me to Matthew 24. I want you to see this in your own Bibles. Matthew 24. Let's listen from Jesus himself, verse 4. Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come. How many? Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. So many will come pretending to be the Christ, claiming to be the Christ. And they will lead many astray. Jump to verse 24. For false Christs, plural, false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, if only possible, even they. Like you see, John is not talking to the young believers. Here, he's talking to everyone in the church because everyone is prone to believe. Everyone can be deceived. What John is saying, there will come a time that the Antichrist will rise, but even right now, there are many little Antichrists. Let us define that word, Antichrist, because we get mixed up with this. This is the word that we often misunderstand. The prefix anti in the original language can have two meanings, okay? Two meanings. It can mean against, anti-government, anti-histamine, right? Or anti-allergy, right? Wala namang isip eh. It can depict someone against something, anti. But it can also mean instead of, a replacement. So right throughout the church period, we will see people who may seemingly not be against Christ, but trying to project themselves as a replacement to Christ. I think that is the chief meaning here of John. That is the essence here that John is saying. There will be people who would appear and claim to be the next big thing. Friends, you need to understand that the devil, our misconception of the devil is he wants us to bow down to Satan. No! No, no. That's very obvious. Very, very obvious. You know what his ploy is? Even if you bow down to someone called Christ, as long as it's not the true Christ, he's okay with that. That the devil would go around, he would not be dressed in black and red suit with tails. He's not carrying around a big pitchfork and saying, worship the devil. No, he's not going to do that. In fact, you would see They are from within. You see, friends, John's interest is not much on the Antichrist, but on the safety of the believers. That's why he is giving them warning here. John says that they are from the church. Some of them may have been elders or pastors who for a while have taught the truth but have swerved away from the truth. Remember the warning of Paul when he met the elders of Ephesus? Acts 20:29. It reads, "I know that after my departure," Paul says, "fierce wolves, ravenous wolves, will come in among you." When? Where? After I leave, where? "From among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Friends, there is a threat. Do not be deceived. There are antichrists nowadays. And you would say, "Pastor, I want to know. I want to be careful. How would we know the antichrist?" Notice verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." Dear ones, these false teachers are apostates, meaning they will depart and abandon the Christian faith. They are those who once professed faith and stood beside the doctrines and teachings of Christianity, but now are denying it outright. John was saying they may be part of the community, humanly speaking, but they were not part of the community, spiritually speaking. They may have looked like believers. They may have sounded like believers. I don't know if there's a particular smell to a believer. They may have smelled like a real believer, but they never really were believers. Because if they were legit, they could have still be with them. Judas looked like a disciple, didn't he? He sounded like a disciple, didn't he? He broke bread with the disciples. He was up close and personal with the disciples. He was even identified in public as a disciple. But his defection proved that he was never a disciple, much less a believer of God. John says, these false teachers have eventually shown their true colors. They were not of us. Friends, I've said this in the first service, and I still feel the same. Pardon me if I would get emotional here. I can't help but be reminded of Joshua Harris as I study on this. Someone who wrote books about Jesus Christ. Our Jesus Christ, the precious Lord, and now defecting from it. The Marty Sampson. Friends, the point that John is making is this. They were among believers. They went out from them, but they were not real believers, because if they were really believers, they would have continued with them. The Antichrist would apostate. They would leave the faith. Let me give you some examples. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, was raised in a Presbyterian home. William Miller of the Seventh-day Adventists was a licensed Baptist preacher. Ellen G. White, their famous prophetess, was raised in a Methodist home. Charles Taze Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses was brought up in a Christian home. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They were apostates. And God's word is teaching us they were not believers to begin with. For a genuine believer will persevere. A genuine believer will persevere. Don't miss this, friends. Yes, these are warnings. Yes, these are cautions. But in this passage, we see how John is interjecting how a true believer looks like. A genuine believer, a true child of God, will persevere till the end. Someone who is a genuine child of God would not withdraw, would not fall away from the gospel. But he will persevere, and I'd like to emphasize, he will persevere with the church. The church is not perfect, friends. It has people who can be difficult at times, people who can hurt us at times, but we are family here. The church is a family. You were born in it through the time when you got saved, as much as those who believe in Jesus Christ are born in it. So we will experience hurt feelings. We will offend. We will be offended. But a genuine believer will not fall away, will be committed to working through these mess. They will not bail out on the church. But the false teachers in John's time, they easily and hurriedly walked out of the faith. So John was saying, those who belong to us would stick with us. And those who depart from us were never really one of us. John says, be discerning, be vigilant of those who fall away. Those false teachers who are now neglecting and abandoning the faith, guard yourselves, not be deceived. John continues as he gives us the second way that we can guard ourselves from being deceived. Look at verse 20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Remember, the false teachers in John's time were offering new truths, diba? There is no new truth. If it is new, it's not true. That's what John has been saying. So these false teachers say, hey, we have new revelation. Hey, we have new truth. Hey, we have new experience. Hey, we want to share this with you. And John said, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Those who left the faith claim to have new anointing, new revelation, new essentials, new improvements to the faith. And John says, no. You don't need improvements. The Holy Spirit has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been anointed by the Holy One, as promised by Jesus Christ. In John 15:26, Jesus said, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Meaning, He, the Holy Spirit, shall lead you into all truth. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and those who are believers, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That is what He's saying here. We have been anointed. Now, anointing here is not a second outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Friends, no. I remember being invited to a friend who goes to this church and said, hey, come visit us in our Wednesday anointing service, in our Sunday anointing service. And said, what is that about? We wait for the outpouring and the downpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're not anointed by the Spirit like something is being sprinkled on us or zapping us. No, friends. We are given the Holy Spirit. He is the anointing. He is the gift. When you are saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit. That is what John is saying here. You have the Holy Spirit. You have all knowledge. Or the better translation is that you are able to know. You're able to know. Amidst the lies, the false teachings, John is saying, though your knowledge may not be perfect, but you have the means. You have the capacity to know truth from wrong. You've got the capacity because you have the Holy Spirit. God is God, the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. In verse 21, see, you have God's Word. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. John has been re-emphasizing again and again, and we're only in chapter 2. He'll do that all throughout the epistle. You know this already. You know this already. He's amplifying truth. He's amplifying doctrine. And that is encouraging, friends. Amidst the lies, amidst the false teachings, from the simplest believer to the most mature believer, we have the Holy Spirit. We have God's Word. We are able to know through the ministry of illumination by which the Holy Spirit will make it clear to us and the power of the truth found only in Scripture. This is the perfect combination to guard our hearts. The Holy Spirit indwelling you, God's Word, God's truth. And John has this to say to the liars in his time. Look at verse 22. Who is the liar? Friends, are you offended by this? Are you uncomfortable by this kind of preaching? John is called the apostle of love. But can you hear him say, you're a liar? The truth is not in you. He's direct. He's not sugarcoating everything, because to tell the truth is the most loving thing that you can do. He said, who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, this is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. This is in the heart of the apostle. Take a peek at 1 John chapter 4. We'll see the same in verse 3. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world. I know God is showing you certain groups as we read this. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, does it ring a bell? There is a group that says, no, that cannot be. He cannot be man. John says, such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. The false teachers in John's time were distorting the doctrine of Christ, particularly his humanity. They claim he cannot be man. If he's God, he needs to say God. If he needs to say good. The false teachers had this idea that Jesus Christ, the man, when he was born and when he was baptized, Christ, the promised Messiah, went down, his spirit went down on him and leaves immediately before the cross. This is telling us, to them, Jesus is not actually the Messiah. Jesus is not actually the Christ. May I ask you, what is the gospel about? What is the gospel? What is the essence of the gospel? God is holy. Man is not. What shall we do? God requires perfection. We are not. Who is perfect? God is. Who can satisfy then the wrath of God? Only God can. But God cannot die. He's God. Therefore, he needs to be man. That is the essence of the gospel. And pardon my passion. I just am offended by these groups saying Jesus is not God. I sure hope that you are too. This is my Jesus, the one who saved me. And them claiming that Jesus is not God, that is offensive to me. They are denying that Jesus was actually the Christ. Has anything changed? Nothing has changed. We see the same nowadays. There is a group, a growing group in our country who claims that Jesus' work was not enough. It was in the Jewish setting, but in the Gentile setting, no, it's not enough. Therefore, God, the Father, needed to appoint someone, needed to appoint a son. You know where I'm going to, right? Needed to appoint a son. Therefore, he appointed a son. And this person in Davao claims he is the one, the appointed Son of God, so that when you read the Bible and reads, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's not talking about Jesus, it's talking about him. If you don't know who I'm referring to, he went viral. He claimed to have stopped the earthquake. Another group claims to be the true church of Christ, yet deny the deity of Jesus. And their excuse? No, we're not saying that Jesus is just a man. We're just saying Jesus is a special man. But that is not what I read in my Bible. He's man, all right, but he is God as well. He is 100% God, and he is 100% man. It is difficult, but there's no contradiction there, friends. He is the infinite God-man, the only mediator between God and man. Yan pa, sabi nila, see, the Bible itself says, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. You see, the Bible says, he's a man. But a mediator is someone who can represent both parties. Diba? And who are the two parties? God and man. Who can mediate? The infinite God-man. Christ, fully God. Christ, fully man. Friends, John was addressing the problem in his time, and the false teachers were belittling the person and work of Jesus Christ. But let us not be confined in this truth that we see in 1 John. Because let me just tell you, anyone who does not accept and embrace the doctrine of Trinity is also the false teacher. Also has the spirit of the Antichrist. Did you see? Verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Some claim we love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength, and with all our hearts. But we just can't accept Jesus. Jesus himself said, the only way to the Father is by me. If you want to go to God, you need to go through Christ. If you want to love God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, you got to love Christ. Otherwise, you can't have God. Now, friends, what we have here is wonderful truth about the unity between the Father and the Son, and we are on holy ground. False teachings then, Jesus cannot be God. False teachings now, yes, that plus the rejection of the Trinity. And this is important, friends. Very, very important. Because not only are there who deny the Lord Jesus Christ as actually the Son of God, there are those who deny that he became human. There are those who claim that there is only one God manifesting himself in different modes in different time. Therefore, there's only one God. In the past, he was the Father. In the middle, he was the Son. Now he is the Spirit. No. No. No one in the Trinity is expendable in our faith. Try to explain the Trinity and you may lose your mind. But try to explain it away from your faith and you will lose your soul. It is the last hour, friends. It is the last hour. There are many who would fall away from the faith, promoting lies, promoting false teachings. Be watchful, John said. There's false teachings. Be discerning of them. As the dangers of these teachers and teachings are important, we need to understand, how can we be armed? He mentioned that a while ago. He's going to mention it again. Look at our third heading. Look at verse 24. John says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. And what you heard from the beginning, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. John said, you need to be in the Word. John brings them back to the gospel. You see the danger there? that they were facing, did John present new truths, innovations? No, he brought them back to the gospel. He was saying, there are no new truths. This is a time and tested truth. These are the same truths that you believed in. And he said, continue to believe in them. Continue to believe in them. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you continuously, consistently, intentionally be in the Word. That is what John is saying. In fact, the whole essence of the lesson that we are seeing here are but repetitions of lessons that he has shared. Remember how he started the epistle? 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, this word who became flesh, the life was made manifest. We've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life. He was just saying, friends, if you started with the gospel, the glorious doctrine, the glorious truth, the time-tested foundation of the church, why would you depart from such truth just because somebody said, I have found new revelations? Friends, focus on these truths. Remind yourself of the gospel. Rehearse in your mind how you are a wretched sinner, pitiful, hopeless, helpless. But God, being rich in mercy, made you alive and saved you. And the means by which you were saved was God becoming flesh. Your sins on his shoulder, on the cross, paid the penalty of sin. Embrace the gospel. Do not embrace new things. That is what John is saying here. And take note of the promise that he has here. Verse 25, and this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. The false teachers were promising new things, new revelation, fulfillment. The old and time and tested gospel was reiterated to them. And what's the promise? Eternal life. Eternal life. And friends, the fact that this was promised by God himself tells us this is nothing that we work for. This is secured. This is fail-proof. This is real. This will come to pass. The greater news, friends, that we see here is that as you persevere, it does not say that you will be given eternal life. No. As if that's your reward. No. The reason why you persevere is because you are appointed to eternal life. The faith that you have is given to you. The supernatural faith that you have is a persevering faith. John reminded them of these truths. The Word of God, the Spirit of God indwelling them to warn them. The sweet truths about who they are as they face the deception of the false teachers. As a father to a 12-year-old, I always make it a point to express my love for my daughter, to assure her of my love. I always would make it a point to hug her and kiss her, even though she does not like that. 12 years old, nay. I would hug her and tight and just play with her and just whisper in her ears, especially when she's sleeping. I would whisper in her ears how much Daddy loves her. Why am I doing that? Because I don't want for her to look for affection elsewhere. I don't want her to look for a man's affection elsewhere. I want her to find that affection from me until God, in God's time, He would give someone who would take care of her 30 years from now. Or maybe 40 years from now. That's pretty young. 50 years from now. Friends, John did not want his readers and us to feel insecure while we're here with what we have while others claim to have the special revelation? The best news is the old news, and it promises eternal life. Eternal life. Dear ones, I pray that you are in your word. I pray that you are opening your Bibles. I pray that you are studying your Bibles. Friends, it is glorious when we gather together in corporate study of God's Word. But I pray that you are doing your own personal study, doing your own Bible reading. How do you guard yourself from deception? Be discerning of teachers. Be discerning of false teachings. Be in the Word. Lastly, he would say, be consistently, be abiding in God's Spirit. Look at verse 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Again, John is so concerned about them. He wrote that there are those who would try to deceive you. John, as a loving and faithful pastor, is giving them warnings, is lovingly telling them the truth, not sugarcoating everything. And he goes on in verse 27, repeating himself, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The word abide there is a fellowship word. He's saying, the Holy Spirit has fellowship with you as you face false teachers and false teachings, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Friends, this is not saying that we don't need Bible teachers and Bible preachers. Okay? Ephesians 4 says that the pastors and teachers are God's gift to the church. What he meant here is this. As the false teachers were saying, we have secret truths. Come, I'll teach you these secret truths. John is saying you don't need those. You have the Word, you have the Spirit, you have what you need. As God explains everything to you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. What did we see? That the gospel, friends, is not just a series of doctrines. That the gospel is not just a set of truth. The gospel, yes, is doctrine, but it points to relationship. Relationship. Did you hear that? Did you see that? Anointing you receive from him abides in you. You don't need anyone to teach you the secrets, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it's true, as you are in the Word, as you're dependent on the Spirit, and there's no lie in the truth, in God's Word, abide in him. Enjoy, relish on that relationship. John is saying that what we need is what we have. That what we have is what we need. The Holy Spirit, God's Word, two tandems that we need to defend ourselves from deception. But we need to understand, friends, that there should be a balance. There should be a great, great balance between the two. If you neglect the Spirit, then all you have is cerebral understanding of Christianity. All you have is intellectual assent. All you have are historical facts about Jesus. If you neglect the Word, then all you have are emotional, mystical experience. And the danger there is this. You would compare what you are experiencing now with what others are experiencing as well. Then you would go after a greater experience that is very prone to lies. We need both. We need the Word. We need the Spirit. All Word would puff us up. All Spirit will blow us up. But you have the Word and you have the Spirit, then that is when we grow up. And we need to grow up. We need to. Because there are deceptions. There are lies. There are false teachers. There are liars who are trying to get our attention. How do you defend yourself? How do you defend yourself? How do you guard yourself from deception? Be discerning of false teachers. Be discerning of false teachings. Be in the Word. Be in God's Word. And be dependent on the ministry of the Holy Spirit indwelling you and me. Friends, this is wonderful. This is encouraging. But it is at this point that I want to ask you, are you a follower of God? Are you a believer of God? Are you a born-again Christian? May I ask you, dear friend, is your love for Christ leading you to love His Word? Is your commitment to Christ leading you to commitment to Scripture? You cannot divorce the two. You need both to safeguard us from deception. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You. We praise You for Your truth. And we pray that as we let the words, the truth, sink in our hearts, we pray that You would minister to us. Thank You that we have assurance in You and You alone. And thank You that we have Your Word, Your truth, timeless, without errors, all authoritative and always relevant, and Your Spirit, our helper, our comforter, our teacher, both needed for us to mature, both needed to defend our hearts from deception. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so much by telling this. Thank You by loving us so much that You want us to be secure and You want us to be safe. This is our prayer with much thanksgiving in Christ's most precious name. Amen. God bless you.